verse 1 to verse 8. Luke chapter 18, from verse 1 to verse 8. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your blessing upon your word, for the anointing, and for confirmation with signs and wonders. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Every process has a beginning, a middle, and an end. The toughest part is really not so much the beginning, although it can be difficult to begin. The toughest part is not so much the beginning. The toughest part is the middle. The middle of the academic year. The middle of the week. The middle of the month. The middle of winter. And the middle of life is called midlife. The toughest part of life is the middle. And prayer is the same. It has a beginning, it has a middle, and it has an end. The toughest part of prayer and the longest part of prayer is the middle. Luke chapter 11 verse 1 tells us about the prayer life of Jesus. And by the way, tell your neighbor for me, pray, pray, pray. Tell your other neighbor, I said, pray, pray, pray. Tandaza, tandaza, tandaza. Yes. Luke chapter 11 verse 1 says, now Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. Now, we must understand that the disciples were not seeing prayer for the first time. These are Jews. Jews are praying all the time. They're praying in their home. They pray for everything. They pray for their pots and pans, let alone their food. They pray going out of the house. They pray coming into the house. There are people constantly praying, let alone in the synagogue. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees were known to be people that would pray long, flowery prayers. But this time the disciples saw something different, to the point that these people who thought they knew what prayer is, ask the question, and they beg the Lord, saying, Lord, teach us to pray. Because the way you pray is different to the way that we've seen other people pray. In fact, your praying, Lord Jesus, produces results that no other rabbi or Pharisee or Sadducee produces. We need to know how to pray like that. So Jesus teaches us to persist in prayer. To persist in prayer. He gives this parable of this widow woman who's pleading her case with this unjust judge, and she will not let up. I can imagine if you were to make a kind of movie or skit about it. She had already Googled his address. She knew where he lived. She knew where he worked. She knew his route to work. And in the morning, there she was outside the gate. Just as he's coming out of his house, shouting through the gate, plead my case. Plead my case. I need justice. And there he is trying to get into his car. And here's this woman. Then she gets into her car and follows him. And at the traffic light, halfway down the highway at the traffic light, she opens the window and says, plead my case. I want justice. And he's trying to ignore her, and he takes off, and she follows after him, and she overtakes him. She gets to the workplace before he gets there, and as he gets out of his car in the underground parking, she's already there. I want justice. And this is an unjust judge. In other words, he was corrupt. He took bribes. This woman didn't bring a bribe, but every day she was on his case. He opens up his email and there she is. Plead my case, I want justice. He opens up his WhatsApp, there she is. I want justice. He's like, yo, this woman. He tries everything to avoid her, but this woman is persistent. To the point the man says, listen, look, this woman's going to make me lose my mind. She's not giving no bribe. She's nobody. She's got no connections, no political connections, no money. But I want peace. So the unjust judge decides that he is going to represent her case and give her justice. And Jesus says, that's how I want you to pray. Persist in prayer. Tell your neighbor, pray, pray, pray. This parable is about persistence in prayer. But it is also about the faith needed to persevere in prayer. Because the last thing Jesus says, he says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? Now, that does not seem to be a connection between talking about persevering in prayer and faith. But there is. Because Jesus says you must have this kind of faith that is able to persevere even when you don't see results. That requires faith. Someone say this kind of faith. The kind of faith that will not take no for an answer. Glory to God. The kind of faith that will keep on petitioning God, standing on the promises of God, decreeing what God said, engage in spiritual warfare, bind devils, arrest principalities and powers. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The kind of praying that says, I'm going to keep on praying until something happens. Tell your neighbor, pray until something supernatural happens. Now, this is not natural for us. So in Daniel chapter 10, we know that this was a time when Daniel was fasting and praying. The Bible tells us that was when the archangel Gabriel was, released. I wanted to notice something. The Bible says that when Gabriel finally arrived, Gabriel says, from the first day that you prayed, I was sent from heaven, and I'm here because of your words. Now, but Gabriel did not arrive on the first day. So Daniel continues to fast and pray. And this is when there was a battle in the heavens between Gabriel and the prince of Persia. And then the archangel Michael was sent in to intervene and settle the matter. Daniel only stops praying after the archangel Gabriel arrived. He prayed another 20 days and fasted 21 days in total. And there's no indication that he was going to stop. It just so happens that that's how long it took for him to fast and pray until something supernatural happened. But he had purpose in his heart that as for this prayer, I am going to persevere, I am going to persist in this fasting and prayer until something supernatural happens. See, only God knows what needs to happen for your prayer to be answered. You don't know what needs to happen. You are praying for a breakthrough. You are praying for a promotion. You are praying for a husband. You are praying as a couple for a child. Whatever it is that you are praying for, but you don't know what needs to happen in order for that to happen. In the case of Daniel, there had to be a whole lot of things happening in order for his prayer to be answered, because he knew it was time for the children of Israel to return to the land of promise. And so God had to move upon King Cyrus. Now, think about that just for a minute. This is a head of state. This is a king. This is a king with all kinds of responsibilities, all kinds of demands put upon his time and his attention. And God has to literally arrest the king and instruct this evil king that he must release the children of Israel out of their slavery and captivity and return all the items that were stolen and taken from the temple and send them back to their land. Now, that is not a normal kind of thing, because this king had, by his government and nation, had conquered Jerusalem. You don't just do that. You don't just say you can go back now. Well, why did you take that stuff in the first place then? Why did you invade the country in the first place for you to say go back now? It had to be God. And so God had to move upon King Cyrus, and that's why the prince of Persia was involved in the conflict in the heavens. Because the prince of Persia was the ruling spiritual prince over the land and over King Cyrus. So the power of the prince of Persia had to be broken. Are you hearing what I'm saying? in order for God to be able to prevail on the king in the earth, who was King Cyrus. And that is why when Gabriel is released from heaven, he encounters the prince of Persia. The prince of Persia is saying, no, they're not leaving. We took their land by force. We took their wealth by force. They're our slaves. They're not going. And Gabriel now has an altercation with the prince of Persia. And the matter is locked in a diplomatic war. Because Gabriel is not a fighting angel. He's not a warring angel. He's an angel with a message. And the prince of Persia has an assignment. So they are fighting back and forth regarding whether the mandate from heaven would go through. Because the prince of Persia knew that if Gabriel overcomes me in the courts, it is a legal case. If he overcomes me in the court, then he loses his control over the prince of the king of Persia, which was King Cyrus, and then God can come in and change things. And then it got so locked in for so long that God decided, okay, Gabriel needs reinforcement, so he sends the archangel Michael, the big boy, the general of all the armies of heaven. You don't mess with Michael. Michael has no equal when it comes to war. And so Michael shows up now, on the scene, and Michael says, what's going on here? Are you ready to escalate this now? Because since diplomacy is not working with you, Prince of Persia, I am going to have to snap my fingers and bring a million warring angels here. But you're going to let Michael through. Prince of Persia says, okay. I surrender. Pack your bags, Prince of Persia. You're out of here. And then Gabriel is able to proceed to go down to Daniel. But at the same time, angels are able to go to the king of Persia. And God is able to turn the mind and the heart of King Cyrus to let God's people go. I don't even know what the argument was. Maybe there was an argument there too. And then the angel that must have come to King Cyrus reminded the King Cyrus to say, do you know what happened to Pharaoh when he refused to let God's people go? Are you ready to take the consequences? And Cyrus says, no. I read about that. Please take them. What else do you need? Okay, here are all the artifacts from the temple. I'm going to give back everything. And what else they need? Yes, they need some money. Okay, let's support them. But we're not going to have the same story of Egypt here. My point is this. For Daniel's prayer to be answered, there were many things that had to happen behind the scenes. And during the time while those things were happening, Daniel needed to continue to be in the place of fasting and prayer. Tell your neighbor, pray. You may think, all I need is just a Mr. Tall, Dark, and Handsome, or Short, Not So Dark, and Not So Handsome to come by, and that's all that God needs to do. But God has to work on that guy. The guy could be in a shebeen somewhere. He could be shooting up cocaine and snorting crack or whatever they do. He could be doing all kinds of nonsense, and you are praying for him. And God says, okay, I've heard your prayer, but keep praying while the answer is coming. I heard you, but I've got to work on this now. And you think that God has not answered your prayers, but he has answered your prayers, like Gabriel was released from the first day. But now there are things, I just hear what I'm saying, behind the scenes that must happen. Glory to God. And you're praying for a job, and God says, okay, but I want to get you a job that's aligned with your purpose. So, you know, you don't know this, but I'm going to have to move upon somebody to create a business. And I'm going to make sure that in that business, there is a position with your name on it. Once that business has been, that company has been created, I've got the right place for you. And you think that God has not answered. Someone say, God has already answered. God is not deaf. And God is not stubborn. He wants to answer your prayers more than you want them answered. So from day one, the moment you pray, the answer is already yes. And the answer is on its way. But the purpose of going through the middle, that's the beginning. Going through the middle is that whatever needs to happen for that answer to manifest, you need to keep on praying and fasting. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Glory to God. And so, Jesus teaches us to persist in prayer. Okay, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. There is another miracle taking place right now. These knees and these bones. There's a joint miracle. Okay, it's not just the knees. It's joints, just joints. Someone's been struggling with their joints. It's almost like arthritis. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. But wherever you are, just receive it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm not going to call you up because of we don't have that luxury of time. But just receive it right now online in the name of Jesus. I command that stiffness, I command that pain to go right now in Jesus' mighty name. I command your joints to be loose in the mighty name of Jesus. Someone's had a speech impediment. It's like your tongue doesn't keep up with you. And you end up stuttering and not being able to articulate. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God is loosing somebody's tongue right now. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And you're not gonna have that speech impediment any longer. It's like the enemy had locked up your tongue and put a tripping device so that you can't speak what. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And God is healing that stammering and that stuttering in somebody right now in the mighty name of Jesus. If it's you online, then receive it in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, somebody give God praise right there. All right. Thank you, Lord. Right now, the Holy Spirit is releasing all those miracles. The anemia, if you check yourself, go to the doctor. You won't be able to know now. Go to the doctor and check for that anemia. You'll find it is gone in Jesus' mighty name. God has normalized your blood system. Come on, somebody. That blindness, I say, be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Receive your sight wherever your sight had been lost. I command creative miracles into your eyesight right now. Receive your sight in Jesus' name. If you are here or you're online, put your hand over that eye that has been ailing you in the mighty name of Jesus and receive your healing right now. I command healing to flow over your eyesight in Jesus' mighty name. And give God the glory when you see the manifestation. I command every autoimmune disease in your body to end right now. I command peace in your body in the mighty name of Jesus, that your body will no longer fight itself. I command healing in your body in the mighty name of Jesus. Every autoimmune disease, I command it to go. Be made whole by the authority of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Wherever you are, receive that and give God praise. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Lord. Right now, that foot, I command it to be restored. I command it to be recreated. I command it to be made whole by the authority of the name of Jesus, begin to move your ankle. Begin to stand upon that foot that you could not stand on. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, if you're a parent, lay your hand upon your baby right now. Lay your hand upon your child right now. Call upon the name of Jesus and watch a miracle. Watch that foot grow. Watch that foot come back to its full size, or even for the first time. We receive it, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Someone shout amen. Hallelujah. So this is why we must persist in prayer. Until something supernatural happens. Now, very quickly, and I'm closing, there are six types of prayer lives, and I'll be very quick with this. There are six types of prayer lives. The first type is what I call the formality-based type of prayer life. Now, the formality-based kind of prayer life is the kind of praying as a religious duty. Praying for your food. Opening and closing in prayer in a church meeting. Praying before you go to bed for 1 minute. That is what is called a formality kind of prayer. And I want to tell you, not much happens in that kind of prayer life. Why? Because there's a beginning, but there's no middle. And there's no end. There's no real commitment to pray. There's no perseverance. And so answers are few and far between. A second kind of prayer life is what I call circumstance-based prayer life, which means that when a person prays only when it's urgent, when it's an emergency, when one is going through a difficult situation, then they pray. This kind of praying is emotion-based. It has to be driven by emotions and feelings. Or praying only on Sunday services. Now, some answers come at this level, but they are inconsistent because the prayer life is inconsistent. Prayer is sense-led. Therefore, one is easily deceived by circumstances and can stop praying too early. Or they can pray amiss because of deceptive circumstances. We have to be led by the Spirit in prayer. Because sometimes a circumstance can be a lying circumstance. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you think God has not answered you. And sometimes a situation is just stubborn and it doesn't seem like it's changing, but the Lord gives you the assurance that it is changing. And you can't be led by your five senses. So this kind of person has a tendency to be derailed, to be distracted, and to give up in the middle. And this person will not experience many breakthroughs because whenever they feel resistance, they stop praying. Then the other kind of prayer is what I call the habit-based type of prayer life. Now, this is a person that builds a consistent prayer life based on a good habit. So they'll be praying maybe under an hour to an hour a day. They'll be attending prayer meetings. They may even have a family altar. That's good. So this person will experience more consistent victories and more victory over the temptations of the flesh and challenges of life. They will have more testimonies, answered prayers. But big breakthroughs generally remain delayed. Because when again they need to persevere in prayer, they tend to give up. Because the middle part is long. The middle part is long, but you don't know how long it is. Then there's a person which I call, who has a prayer life called the burden-based type of prayer life. Burden-based. Now this person has got a prayer life, all right, healthy prayer life, but they're only intense in prayer when there's a special burden. But when the burden's not there, they relax. Now, this person may include fasting, maybe 1 to 3 days, 4 days a month when they fast, but they have a hot and cold pattern. There are times they are hot and there are times they are ice cold. Now, what happens with this kind of person is that if the burdens are not prayed through and supported by fasting, then significant breakthroughs don't come easily. They have high points and very low points. Why? Because they're living a roller coaster kind of prayer life. And their experience is a roller coaster experience. Someone say amen or say ouch. And the low point is because the adversary has a way of giving backlashes because of prevailing prayer or victories. So there's going to be a resistance and a backlash, but because this person prays only on a burden, they will relax and stop praying, and at that time is when the enemy comes. And they can set them back, and the enemy can make them lose a victory that they already gained. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Then there's a person which I call has got a commitment-based type of prayer life. Commitment-based type of prayer life. This is a person who builds their days on a strong foundation of prayer. This is a person that has a daily prayer time of 1-2 hours a day. This is a person that has made a quality decision to ask the Holy Spirit to help them in this prayer life, but that's made a commitment to prayer. They have a regular fasting routine, maybe 1-2 days a week. Now their prayers include intercession, praying in the Spirit, includes spiritual engagement, decrees and declarations. They're committed in prayer. They don't pray because there is an urgent crisis. They don't pray because they have a particular burden. They pray because they've made a commitment to say, I am going to pray. Whether I feel like it or not. Now, these people have a different result. Because through patience and perseverance in prayer, there is a progression of significant breakthroughs and divine interventions. Why? Because they complete the middle part of prayer. They're praying through the middle part, that tough part. Then there is what I would call finally the covenant-based type of prayer life. The covenant-based type of prayer life. Now, this is a person, is a rare person. This is a person that we all aspire to be. This is a person who builds their whole life around a prayer covenant. And prayer becomes central to their life. This is a person who's like Daniel. Daniel had this kind of prayer life, who had a covenant of prayer to the point that he would pray every day with his window open towards Jerusalem. And in spite of the fact that he was opposed, persecuted, and thrown into a den of lions, he never broke his covenant with God. And that is why I believe that Daniel had all the revelations that he had, because God could trust him, because Daniel had a covenant when it came to prayer. So you can find out about the last days from Daniel. Now, this kind of prayer is the kind of prayer behind great ministers, great ministries, great moves of God. The kind of covenant prayer that can be by an individual or a group of believers. My grandmother would tell me that in the 1950s, 1950 to be exact, the Lord spoke to her to gather three women that would pray at 4 o'clock in the morning for the assemblies of God. It was still just a denomination. Reverend Bengel was not known at the time. And they began to fast and pray every day. I don't know how many months or years they prayed until revival broke out in East London. And that revival continued for many years because they continued in their covenant with prayer. I'm not saying other people didn't pray, but I know that there was this group of women, four women that would pray. Dr. Cho's mother-in-law. She was one of the reasons why Dr. Cho was able to do what he did, because she was covenanted in prayer and she had the burden and the vision of the prayer mountain. Read up about it. The East Africa revival was a result of a group of individuals that covenanted to pray and fast for months on end, even years, until revival broke out. Covenant prayer partners of servants of God are the reason why ministries become great. They are the reason why ministries and become great and moves of God take place. Doesn't start in the pulpit, doesn't start behind a microphone, does not start behind a keyboard. It comes because certain people have covenanted with God to say, Lord, what you have purposed for this house, I am making a covenant today that I'm not going to rest until it happens. This kind of prayer is revelation based. We're talking about a consistent daily prayer life of an average over 2 hours a day. Dr. Cho would pray 5 hours a day. Maurice Rouleau, 7 hours a day. Read about all these, Oyedepos, Adebuyes. They not just them, but the people that stand with him are committed to a covenant of prayer. And so they can bring dead people to the pulpit after the service and they get up and they're healed. We're talking about a person that will fast over 2 days a week. Consecration, 7 days, 40 days, over 40 days of fasting and prayer. All kinds of prayer. This kind of praying is committed until the prayer is completed, no matter how long it takes. Tell your neighbor, pray, pray, pray. So, we must commit to prayer. I'm not making an altar call because this has to be between you and God. But I'm saying to you and me, let's keep on praying. Because the answer has already been released. And you're continuing to pray is to make sure that it arrives at your doorstep. Can you stand with me? And let's give God praise. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. As a matter of fact, I want you to respond to the Lord yourself right now. I'll give you 1 minute to respond to what the Lord has been saying to you personally. To you personally. I know our minds will give all kinds of excuses. We have 100 excuses. But what is the Lord saying to you? Do that. Whatever level the Lord is calling you to, as far as your prayer life is concerned, make a commitment. God will give you the grace. Don't stay where you are, because your answers will stay on the same level. The answers to your prayer depend on your prayer life. They're not going to improve until your prayer life improves. They're not going to change until your prayer life goes to another level. So make that commitment right now before God. Whatever it is, God gives the grace. You can't do it in your own strength. Don't tell yourself, well, I'm not a preacher. Yeah, but think about how many hours you spend on social media, how many hours you spend watching DSTV, how many hours you spend on YouTube. You've got the time. It's just that we choose to use our time for entertainment. But you have the time to go to the next level. So, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we are making a commitment today, a fresh commitment to you. That, Lord, you'll help us to make a commitment that prayer will not be something we do sporadically out of an urgency, out of an emergency, out of just our need or a prayer item. But, Father God, that you bring us to a place where prayer is our commitment to you, that we will commit time to pray. And that, Lord, in doing so, you'll bless us and meet with us and do the supernatural in us and in our house. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, someone is saying, I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to give my life to Jesus. You have no grace to pray. You can't pray. You don't have the grace to pray. So, for you to begin to have a prayer life, you've got to be born again. You've got to have a relationship with God. And then He will give you that grace and you will grow in your prayer life. And you begin to see God answering your prayers as you would like to see it happen. Your prayers are ascending before God. But it requires for you to push through, pray through. And God wants to give you that ability so that He can answer your prayers. Wherever you are, slip up your hand so I can pray with you. Where are you? You want to be born again? Online, wherever you are, follow me in this prayer and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I believe you died for my sin. You were buried and rose again. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Make me what you want me to be. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you. Rule and reign in every area of your life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Friday night, it's happening right here. God chases gathering.